the inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon. I'm Loretta Freilich. I'm guest host of listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ, along with my amazing co-host, Mary Fiorito, the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at Notre Dame DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Loretta. Great to be with you again. It's a beautiful day here in Chicago after day of sweltering heat. It is so nice to have this beautiful weather that we're having today. And beautiful to be with you.
Oh, well, thank you,
as ever.
It's always beautiful to be with you. And after all the traffic, this weekend, it is great to just be present to one another here in the studio.
And everybody had that same decision at the same time, to go in their cars and drive everywhere. If you live in the Chicago area, people, and you haven't been out since we moved into the Freedom Friday, Stage 5, everybody can go out. Everyone decided to get on the Kennedy and the Eisenhower at the same time. So stay home some more until people get that out of their system.
I know. I'm ready to go back to Phase 1.
Right, yeah.
Oh, maybe not. I take that back. I'm happy and grateful to God to be in Phase 5, but maybe not everybody together on the Kennedy Expressway at the same time.
Oh.
Well, today, Mayor, we are welcoming a dear friend of mine to the show, and as you hear her, I'm sure she will become one of yours, Anne Bulgiani. She is a retired university professor. She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at age 13. She's a former director of a university's overseas program and has been active in the charismatic renewal as both a leader and a popular speaker. She is the author of Aunt Laura's Prophecies, God Speaks to His People, and Unfolding His Word, a daily devotional to life in the Spirit. She lives in Italy and has a ministry of prayer and intercession. And today we're going to talk to Anne about forgiveness. Welcome, Anne, to the program.
Oh, it's a privilege, Loretta, to be on with you and to be able to share some of the experiences that the Lord has taken me through and some of the things that He has taught me through the years.
Amen.
Well, it's nice to meet you over the airwaves. And this is Mary Fiorito. I am Loretta's co-host, and Loretta has told me so much about you. And we're really looking forward to this conversation today because I think forgiveness is something, boy, still so necessary, especially after so much national discontent and discord. And what you have to share with us today, I think, is going to be relevant to everybody, no matter where they are in their walk with the Lord. So thank you. I'm going to be mostly quiet today, which, as listeners know, is really unusual for me. But I know this is something where I know just enough to be dangerous, so I'm going to let Loretta handle most of the conversation, if that's okay with you.
It's nice meeting you, and I want to welcome you to ask me whatever the Holy Spirit might inspire.
Well, thank you. Yes.
I had suggested forgiveness, but whatever else you might be inspired to ask me.
Okay.
That's what I'm here for, and I'm more than happy to share, with you,
God
as
bless
I said.
You may regret that later in the hour, but thank you.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, I'll let Loretta get the ball rolling here.
Well, Anne, it's so wonderful to have you home in Chicago after your time in Italy. And can you just tell us a little bit about your background?
My background, okay. I was born in New York City. We came to the Lord through the ministry of two of our aunts, two Pentecostal aunts. They started a prayer meeting in our family. And in that prayer meeting, when I was 13 years old, I met the Lord. And let me tell you, Loretta, I was saved. But not just saved in the sense that people talk about being saved. I was saved because I was just desperate for love. And when I met the Lord and I experienced his love, it was literally something that brought me to life. It was the most wonderful thing that had happened to me, and I just can't express the difference, the before and the after, with after being baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
And I have to say, when I was 15 years old, I met my husband.
Wow.
And he was from Italy.
Ah.
And since I was following the Lord, I took it to him because we liked each other immediately. But I took it to the Lord. I took it to the ladies in prayer. I said, is this young man the one that the Lord has for me? Should I allow him into my heart? And Loretta, I got the green light.
Praise God.
I got the green light. And he turned out to be the most wonderful husband. After I graduated from high school in New York, we moved to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he followed me. He said, wherever you go, I will follow you.
Oh.
Like in the Book of Ruth.
Right. That's a keeper there, Anne. That's a keeper.
Wow, he was a keeper.
And then we got married when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all of my bachelor's work, all my undergraduate work, working full time. When I finished my degree, it was my husband who encouraged me to continue. I went to graduate school at Northwestern University. I was there for 3 years, and then I started teaching.
My understanding is you have a expertise in languages. How many languages do you speak?
Four.
Oh, my goodness.
Four.
And what are they?
Well, we grew up, my family is Hispanic. My mother was born in Puerto Rico, and my father was born in the Dominican Republic. Both of them came to the United States very young, around 13, and they met in New York. But we were bilingual at home. And more of them speaking Spanish than we being that great at it. We eventually studied and gained fluency and literacy. But, we grew up with that. Then when I met my husband, oh, this is funny, but one of the first things he did was he bought me an Italian grammar book. And he said, learn Italian. And, this is way before women's lib.
That was a subtle hint. He wanted you to learn Italian. Was that it?
I did it. When I was in high school, I used to take my Italian grammar book with me to school, and I started learning Italian. And then in my studies, I was an English major as an undergraduate, but then I went into French, and then French became my field.
Okay. Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Those are wonderful. So and such a gift to have, that many languages. That's really wonderful.
It is wonderful. And then I have to throw this in, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
In my last year teaching, before I took a break to finish my dissertation and to get my PhD, I had this young man in my class who used to sit in the first row, and he'd nod off. And every time he nodded off, I would call on him. And he would always know the answer. It really got my goat. And one day I gave the class an assignment in French to write me a composition in French. Well, this young man wrote me a composition telling me that he was a Catholic Pentecostal. This young man is Father Rich Simon, who's the pastor of St. Lazarus Church and who's retiring this year. He's my old French student. Anyhow, when I heard that Catholic and Pentecostal, I did not believe it. I said, what in the world is that? So I asked him to my office. He came to my office and he told me about the charismatic renewal. And I had never heard of such a thing. And that was another life-changing encounter. At the end of our talk, he said, can we pray? And you know what, ladies? I had been backslidden. When we moved to Chicago, I didn't really get into church. I wasn't praying. I wasn't reading my Bible. I was just absorbed in work and study, and I was backslidden. So when this young man said, can we pray? Oh, my gosh, I hadn't prayed in such a long time. But I said, oh, yes. And so we prayed together. And I have to tell you that from there, I started going to the prayer meetings, the charismatic prayer meetings. And as a result of that young man being so brave, because it took such courage for him to do that. He was afraid of me. I was so young that I thought I had to be so tough because I was so young that he was afraid of me. So anyhow, as a result, my whole entire family came to the Lord.
Praise God.
My mother, my father, my sisters, all came in coming to the Lord as a result of that courage that young man had, being so wonderful as to, you know, do that. Witness
isn't
to
your that a
teacher.
Good reminder, Anne, that God can use anybody?
Amen.
You know, sometimes we think it's like a, you know, a priest or a woman religious or like that has to introduce us to the Lord when God can use anybody he chooses, right?
Absolutely. All you have to do is you know, obey. Because, you know, he was telling me just when I saw him recently, he said, you know, when he was writing that composition and he said Catholic Pentecostal, he almost excluded that because he was afraid.
Sure.
He almost excluded it. But he said it was the fear of the Lord that kept him from you know, not saying that and not saying the full truth.
Praise
and
God.
So yeah, it's just, yeah, it's extraordinary. That really, and I'm forever grateful to that young man. I'm forever grateful to Rich Simon, Father Rich Simon.
Well, Father Rich has been changing lives since, at least we now know, since his his university days.
Right, he was a kid.
Yeah, he was a kid.
He was a kid. So praise the Lord, you know.
Praise God.
Praise God, yeah. So then, in my teaching career, this will take us to this topic of forgiveness.
Please.
One of the things that the Lord showed me was that it was like the academic environment can be a very dangerous environment for many reasons. It's like a battleground of ideas, of trends, of all kinds of things. And the Lord made it clear to me that it was going to be a dangerous place that I was going into. And he also made it clear to me that what was going to protect me in that dangerous work environment, and I think a lot of people can relate to dangerous work environments.
Very much
was
so.
That if I kept myself clean, and what did that mean? I felt that he instructed me to wipe the slate clean every single day.
Amen.
That meant I couldn't carry anything with me from one day to the next. No resentment, no bitterness, no anger, no unforgiveness, nothing wipe the slate clean every day. And I did that. I would get up early every morning to pray and read scripture. And I would, anything, you know, untoward that happened to me, I would get rid of it on a daily basis. And I have to say this. I had such a successful career. I had enemies that somehow wound up supporting me.
That's the Lord.
Absolutely. When I became chair of my department, you know, there were people, and there was a lot of jealousy. There was, you know, they all supported me. The circumstances were such that they realized that I was the person for the job. I could do the job. And so they all supported me. Now, that is, you know, unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
And then, isn't it unbelievable? I had an experience, too, that opened my eyes as when I was chairman. I was talking to a professor. We were having an annual review thing. And it went so well. It was so positive. It was just one of the most productive meetings I had with, you know, with all the faculty that I had been scheduled to meet with. Loretta, when this fellow got up and left, I remembered the horrible things he had said about me and the horrible things he had done to me. And do you know that during that meeting, they were so far from me, I couldn't, it was like the slate was so clean.
Praise God.
We had this most wonderful meeting.
Praise God.
And I think the Lord only did that to show me what he had done for me. Because it's like, you know, our sins the Lord takes, puts away from us, and he forgets them. It's like the east is from the west.
Right.
That's how far he separates, you know, us from our sins.
Amen.
And so, isn't that terrific?
That is so terrific, and that you did not recall them as you were
dealing with them.
That your meeting went so beautifully.
Yes, isn't that something?
That is. That's amazing. And that is only the Lord. Only the Lord can do that.
Yes, yes.
You know,
but you know what?
What?
We have to be obedient. We have to be obedient. If he tells you to do a certain thing, you got to do it. Like
yes.
When he says, he said to me, wipe the slate clean every day. Well, I did it.
Yes.
I did it. And so I reap the fruit of that.
Right.
I reap the fruit of that. I never had, despite, I mean, you know, I mean, honestly, there was some bad stuff coming down. I never had hatred in my heart. I never had resentment in my heart because I was cleaning that slate every day.
And what do you think, what do you think led you to, or not led you, because we know you're being obedient to the Lord, but what made it easy or difficult to do that?
Well, I don't know how to conceptualize this, Loretta, but I've always had the sense that we needed to obey the Lord.
Amen.
Always. I've always had the sense, well, first because I knew intimately how much he loved me from the very beginning when he baptized me with the Holy Spirit. I know he loved me. I know he's all-powerful. I know that he's good.
Amen.
And so if he says to do something, it only makes sense to do it.
Right.
To do it because it's for your good.
Amen.
And then so many other people are going to be affected by this.
Yes. And I think we don't see the ripple effects of our sinfulness in unforgiveness, but those same ripple effects in forgiveness remain in our lives also.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
And you know, so much of what
And then we've got to remember, doesn't he say that we will be forgiven as we forgive? Now
there's
that's
a scary,
scary
proposition. That is a
That is scary.
Yes.
That is scary. So the here comes in the fear of the Lord. Now the fear of the Lord, the Bible tells us, is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
So what does that mean? Okay, if we're only going to be forgiven as we forgive, hey, that's scary.
Yes.
We better forgive.
You're right.
And you know, so much, Anne, of what you're saying reminds me of what priests often try to assure people in sacramental confession, is that forgiveness is for the person seeking the forgiveness. It helps us with
that
feeling.
That is right.
And that is right. I know so many people, and I don't know why in this day and age people are still, you know, afraid of that sort of thing, but they are afraid that the priest will remember who they are and will remember their sins. And, you know, I remember Father Rich Simon telling me once, God has really given me the grace to, the minute I walk out of that confessional, to not remember a thing I've heard. And he said, that's a great grace that I've been given as a priest. I know.
Oh, you see that? Oh, praise God. That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah. So, no, and that's what it made me. That's what, and then you had mentioned Father Simon, and I thought, you know, he told me that. He said, you know, God gave me an amazing ability. So if you're looking for a good priest to go to confession to, folks, that's the guy who's already said he won't remember anything. So even if you go face-to-face, he won't know it. So, but no.
You know what? Yeah, that's so great, because I never thought about that. I mean, this is the first time it's occurring to me that he would definitely, any priest would need that grace big time.
Right.
Because you can't carry all that stuff around.
Course,
you got to get rid of it.
And it really is a grace, you know, that God gives them. So that's such a beautiful thing to be assured of, isn't it?
Yes.
It is.
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful.
And
then let me tell you this other thing that takes it one step further.
Okay? Yes.
When I got this assignment abroad, I had been warned by somebody who had been a director of this study abroad program before me.
Mm-hmm.
And this person told me that this place was a demonic stronghold. I was going into a demonic stronghold.
Can we just take a break right here? And when we come back, will you help our listeners understand what a demonic stronghold is?
Yes.
As you tell your story. I'm guest host Loretta Frelick, along with my co-host Mary Fiorito, and we are on listener-supported Winds of Change, and we'll be right back for more of Anne Bugliani when we return after this break.
Winds of Change celebrate Flag Day, which marks the Second Continental Congress adoption of the first U.S. flag on June 14, 1777. The first flag featured the same 13 red and white stripes we see today. However, the number and arrangements of stars have changed as the number of states has increased over the centuries. The current U.S. flag has remained the same since 1960. Let us keep the heritage of the Founding Fathers, who proclaimed that our rights come from our Creator, by flying the flag high today, this Flag Day. Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Hi, this is Loretta Freilich and Mary Fiorito, guest hosting for Father Bush on Winds of Change, and we're with our guest, Ann Bugliani. And Ann, you were just about to tell us about an opportunity you had at the abroad program at your university and explain demonic stronghold. What does that mean?
Well, it means... It's a thing that's hard to detect. And the person who gave me this warning was a priest, okay?
Okay.
And he was spiritually discerning something.
Okay.
Now, when you go to this place, it was a lovely place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was a lovely place, and the people were, you know, normal, fine people. However, if you try to change something, to go in the direction of making things more consonant with Christian values that were the values of the place, that are the fundamental values, you will come against an opposition that is fierce,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that opposition has as its source the dark side. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Did you get what I'm saying?
I totally understand. And I think all of our listeners understand the dark side.
So. I think so. I think everybody knows what that is. So that's what I was getting into.
Now, how did you combat that? How did you combat that?
Okay. So God gave me a strategy.
Whoa.
He gave me instructions. Just like when I started working in the first place, he told me about wiping the slate clean.
Mm-hmm.
When before I went abroad, he gave me instructions, and this is what he said to me. He said, do not take offense.
Ah, now what does that mean?
It means do not get offended.
Okay.
Now, what was he preparing me for? He was preparing me for all kinds of things happening that would cause normally enormous offense.
Right.
He would get tremendously offended.
Okay.
In other words, huge offenses. But, Loretta, I tell you, it was all thrown at me like you can't believe, and I just obeyed. Now, what was the result of my obeying?
Mm-hmm.
It just nothing got to me. Nothing got to me. Nothing that they said got to me. It was like water on a duck's back. I didn't even have to forgive.
Wow.
Because it never got to me to begin with. I was never hurt. I was never offended. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
And that was in the Bible someplace. That there's the possibility of not getting offended. There's this possibility exists. God gives us this grace to not be offended.
Isn't that an amazing grace?
Oh, it is huge. It is huge. It's like Jesus saying, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or Stephen, when he's being stoned, forgives them. They don't know what they're doing.
But how, you know, that's sometimes I think, and if I could just maybe put a more difficult question to you, people say, well, yeah, you know, but he was a saint, and I'm just an average person, and how do you expect people, you know, I think forgiveness is like a thing you can do, okay, mentally, yes, I forgive you, but, you know, you look at the sort of the rage that unforgiveness unleashed upon the United States last year after the George Floyd killing, and how you just saw, I think, years of pent-up anger and frustration, but also people who just wanted to cause trouble and create mayhem. But what that did, you know, in terms of affecting entire communities, and, you know, for example, there was one shopkeeper in Chicago here on Michigan Avenue. They, like a family who'd owned a jewelry store here for 100 years. Their insurance was able to help them get partially back on their feet after the first round of rioting. But after the second round of rioting, they said, we're done. We have to close down our business. There's nothing left. And what people don't realize is that, no, insurance doesn't cover everything for all of these Michigan Avenue businesses. We lost a lifelong business that had been handed down through three generations of our family, and it's all gone now. And they're leaving the state of Illinois, and I remember, if I'm remembering correctly from the one interview with this gentleman, he said, I don't know how I'm going to forgive this you know, in 2 months, our entire 100 years was taken from us. How, I mean, I understand the bitterness, and I understand it must be very difficult to regret.
Of course.
How do you, so how do you move forward? And again, everybody can, you know, the Lord was betrayed, he forgave his, you know, those who betrayed him, but he was God, and, you know, we're not God. And how does one just go about that, practically speaking, to forgive? What are the steps you would recommend?
I recommend reflection. Are you better off not forgiving? Are you better off with the bitterness? Are you better off with the anger? Are you better off with the despair, with the fury? Are you better off like that? I don't think so. I do not think so.
No,
it's like garbage.
Right.
It's like garbage. It's like getting rid of your garbage. That's what it's like. Or it's like going to the bathroom and getting rid of your waste. That's what forgiveness is like.
Right.
You know, Father, get rid of all of this. Excuse me, crap. You get rid of it.
You know, and Father Rich has a saying that he used to tell us all the time, and it was like, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and wishing the other person would die.
Would die, right? That's what it is.
It is.
That's what it is.
It is. And sometimes...
I mean, that's what it is.
And sometimes...
It's like...
You have to choose. It's a choice. And you can still be angry. You can still be despairing. You can still have that fury about you. But if you choose to forgive and you make it a choice, even though you're not there yet, you have to choose to say, I forgive this person. Even though the words are coming out like bullets and you're gritting your teeth. But you need to make that choice and give it to the Lord, and he'll help you get to the other side of that forgiveness.
Yes. And it's possible. Hey, you say, Stephen was a martyr, and of course Jesus is God. Who am I?
Yes.
But if he did it for me,
amen.
He couldn't do it for anybody.
Right.
I mean, this is it. It has nothing to do with who we are. It has to do with who he is.
Amen.
And accessing that, you know, accessing that is there for us. It's there for us.
Well, I
and then also understanding, I think, you know, understanding what this whole Christian life is all about, understanding it. We have to understand that the Christian life, the goal is to make us look like Jesus.
Amen.
That's the goal. To become like him, to be transformed into his likeness, to see him as he is. And that seeing him as he is will transform us so that we will become more like him with the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit, and, you know, last year I gave a talk about the fruit of the Spirit. and I left out one fruit that this year is the fruit that the Lord is concentrating on with me. And you know what that fruit is?
No. What is it?
Long suffering. Long suffering. How do we get long suffering?
How do we laugh about long suffering at this point?
I don't know, Anne. I may exit this conversation now because now I'm a little nervous. I'm not very good at suffering, Anne.
Certainly not long suffering. None of us are. But with the Lord's help,
Absolutely. Can I read to you a couple of things that were in my devotionals for today that
Please.
I think apply?
Please.
Okay, the first reading, the Lord says, I strengthen you in the furnace of affliction. Lean hard on me, for I bring you through to new victories, and restoration shall follow what seems now to be a wind of destruction. And that's what we're all in, the wind of destruction.
Amen.
But restoration shall follow. So that's one, and then I have another one that I think is very pertinent to our situation. This is from another devotional. But for the child of God, everything, the good, the bad, the joys, the sorrows, the problems, the victories and defeats, the wounds, the rejections, the losses, the past, all things are appointed. Oh, my God, is that a hard word? Each is an appointed minister ordained to bring about his purposes, his blessings, his calling, and his destiny in your life. So be blessed. And that which you thought were your problems will in the end be revealed to be the holy ministers of God, ordained to bring you to the appointed place of his calling on your life.
Amen. Amen. And you know, and today's scripture reading for Mass was a reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And in it, he talked about appealing to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And that's what it is. It is the grace of God to know that now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And as we enter into his way of handling things, we are...
Exactly.
Yes, we are possessing everything. And just
Amen.
Full victory through his... You go from glory to glory.
Amen. Amen. And you believe, Romans 8:28, you believe it. All things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his plan. All things.
Amen. All things. Amen. You know, so many of us need to hear this word today.
I think so. I know, you know, and Loretta, the last few years for me have not at all been easy. But I have been given such a joy of the Lord.
Amen.
And like I have a song in my heart no matter what. I get up to walk, and of course it's hard for me. And I'm just singing along, praising the Lord. And he's healing me.
Praise God.
He's doing it really slowly, but it's common. And he gives me encouragement. And I know that he wants me dancing and leaping and praising God. And I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Slowly but surely, I'm getting there.
Amen. Amen. And, and you know, and your life has been, you know, I know that you live in Italy and you have a beautiful, you talk so lovingly about your home in Italy and how beautiful it is. And I know that after the loss of your beloved husband, you know, it's really been a challenge. And yet...
Right.
Whenever I talk to you, whenever I see you, it is the joy of the Lord that just comes radiating through because you so trust in him.
Yes. And because, Loretta, he's with me. You know what? I mean, I'm alone. But I never feel lonely. I absolutely never feel lonely.
Praise
he's
God.
He's with me.
Yes.
He's with me. I know. He loves me. He's with me. He said, when I need help, which is rarely because I do everything on my own and I'm able to do everything that I need to do. But if I need help, he sends me help. The most, you know, wonderful ways. He just sends me people to help me. And I do love, I have to say this, Loretta, I love the Italian people. I'm not Italian. I love the Italian people. They're so warm and affectionate. And his family there, they love me, I love them, and it's just wonderful. So I feel that for now the Lord has me there, and in prayer I'm claiming Italy for the Lord. I pray for all the priests every day that the fire fall on them and that the country become a huge blessing to the world.
Whoa.
I'm believing God to just, his church in Italy, and in my town, the church is fabulous. Our parish priest is just, oh, he's wonderful. And there are many, many, many people of faith there. The church has never closed down there, even during the worst of it. No, they would never close the churches down in Italy. No, never. And
we need to take a lesson from Italy.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so funny that Christian values have so penetrated Italy. It's just amazing. Even people who don't live the life at all, but they still affirm those values.
Wow.
You know, they say, don't look at me. I'm not the model here. But they would never affirm a contrary value. See, that's what's happening in the United States. It's so scary. That all these things that are not of the Lord, are they trying to pass them off as things that people need to now accept?
Well,
they cannot be accepted.
Praise God. Well, when we come back from our break, and I hope to hear more about your ministry of prayer and intercession. And
Okay.
And I'm guest host Loretta Frelick, along with my co-host, Mary Fiorito, on listener-supported Winds of Change, 750 AM WNDZ. And we'll be right back with Ann Bugliani.
Winds of Change celebrate Flag Day, which marks the Second Continental Congress adoption of the first U.S. flag on June 14, 1777. The first flag featured the same 13 red and white stripes we see today. However, the number and arrangements of stars have changed as the number of states has increased over the centuries. The current U.S. flag has remained the same since 1960. Let us keep the heritage of the Founding Fathers who proclaimed that our rights come from our Creator by flying the flag high today, this Flag Day. St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222. And we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back. This is Loretta Frelick, along with my co-host, Mary Fiorito, and we are talking to our guest, Ann Bogliani. And now, Ann, you also told us that you pray for Italy and pray for the priests and the church in Italy. Can you tell us about your ministry of prayer and intercession? I'm sorry, Anne, did you hear me before the technical glitch?
Well, I just had silence there for a while.
Well, I'm so sorry. Well, here's
my... And you said there would be a break, so...
Right. Okay, well, here's my question to you. You have a ministry of prayer and intercession. Can you just tell us what that ministry encompasses?
Okay. Well, many things.
Okay.
I feel, you know, I'm led by Scripture and the instruction in Scripture as to how we should pray. So that means, you know, we are instructed in Scripture to pray for authorities, all those in power and authority. And I do that not only for this country or Italy, I pray globally. So I pray globally for all the leaders and authorities and in government and all the various sectors. I go through everything. But the thing I think that may be a little bit unusual about how I pray, and I was led into this by some experiences that I had several years ago. I felt the Lord was leading me in a new direction in intercession. And it had to do with praying for nature. Mm-hmm. And so I pray for nature. And it started one day I was in prayer and the Lord seemed to say to me to pray for the waters. And this was the kind of the beginning. So it was the first thing. I pray for the waters. So I started praying for the waters. And shortly thereafter, the tsunami hit.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, wow. Apart from that, we had a nephew that was right where the tsunami hit.
Oh, my.
And he was thinking of staying longer.
Oh.
And he just changed his mind, and he came home the day before the tsunami.
Oh, glory to God.
Oh, my gosh. I said, this is really something. So that I was just kind of awestruck by that. But there were more experiences.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he told me to pray for the ice. And I said, oh my gosh, pray for the ice. So I start praying for the ice. The next thing I hear is this about an ice floe that was taking a very dangerous direction, and everybody was worried about where this ice floe was going to, you know, like, be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it veered off someplace. Don't take her at all.
Praise God.
Could it possibly be my prayer?
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. But the weirdest thing was yet to come. The weirdest thing. And he told me to pray for the jellyfish.
The what?
The jellyfish.
Okay.
The jellyfish.
Right.
Pray for the jellyfish. So by this time, you know, I follow my instructions.
Absolutely.
So I started praying for the jellyfish. Well, the news. Millions of jellyfish off our coast. And nobody can figure out why they're not invading the beaches.
Wow.
Maybe millions of them. You know, when the jellyfish come, they come in these hordes of jellyfish, and they invade the beaches, and they're poisonous.
Yes.
And this happens ever so often. Well, here it was in the news. There are millions of them, and they're not coming in to the beaches. And nobody can figure out why.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
And then in that winter, in the papers, I found this little article about millions of jellyfish off the Irish coast that were devastating. Oh, my gosh. Nobody was praying in Ireland. They were devastating the coastal areas there. Oh my God.
Isn't
that something?
That is amazing. That is a sign.
I know. It gave me such a boost in faith, all of this. It stopped, though. I mean, I haven't had anything like that ever since. But ever since, I pray for the waters, I pray for the air currents, I pray for the land. And lately, I've been starting asking the Lord to involve the angels. This is something new. I had not been praying this way. I just started recently. I asked the Lord to give the angels charge of all the paths, of all the roads, of all the streets, of all the highways. I asked the Lord to give the angels charge of all the air currents. I asked the Lord to give charge of the tides, the currents in the water, the waves in the water.
Wow.
To give the angels charge of all of these things. I pray for all of the growing things. I pray for all the creatures. And I have been praying specifically against the COVID since the pandemic began. I declare and decree against the virus to weaken, to die, to dissipate, to disappear in Jesus' name. Every day I pray against it. And, you know, so what else? The creatures, all the creatures, all the growing things, all the land, all the air, all the waters.
Wow.
And so I do that every day.
Praise.
And that's one of the things that I like praying about the most, is praying for nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I have such faith about it because of those experiences I had.
Yes.
You know, because I felt that the Lord had started me off that way, and that He wanted me to do that, and that that was very pleasing to Him.
Praise God.
And you know, sometimes I go through all the different things. I pray for all the people, or you know,
sure.
my family,
yes.
all my contacts, all the authorities. I pray. Well, you know what I pray for? I pray for the bad guys. For all the gangs. I pray for the gangs. I pray for the criminals and the criminal organizations. I pray for the terrorists and the terrorist organizations. I pray for the spies. The spies.
Oh.
The spy network.
Whoa.
For all of that. And I never pray in a negative way for anybody, even, mm-hmm. you know, the criminals and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just ask God to use them for His glory.
Amen.
Because I believe that He can use everybody and anybody and change hearts and do the miraculous. So.
Praise God. That's a great belief. That's a great belief. I wonder if I could just impose on you to lift up a prayer for all of our listeners that they embrace the forgiveness that you've talked about today. If you could just lift them up right now.
Yes, I will do that. Father God, You are so good. You are so good. And yet You know very well, and we all know, that there are things that happen that would test us. And that would actually tempt us to think that You're not good. Because it's so hard for us to bear. These things are so hard for us to bear. But if we just keep our eyes on You and believe You, You will indeed show us and lead us in the path of righteousness. And You will make all things work together for the good. So I ask You for grace for everybody that's listening, for all of us, that we will be able to forgive as we have been forgiven, that we will be able to love as we have been loved by you. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your mighty right arm. We thank you that justice and judgment are in your hands and not in our hands. And so we trust you that indeed you will make all things work together for good for us, because you love us and you've called us and we know you, that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, and that the Holy Spirit is in us to guide us and to enable us to do the things you tell us to do. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Well, Anne, thank you so much. That was such a beautiful prayer for all of us, our listeners, and we just want to embrace the forgiveness that you've talked about. And, you know, we appreciate your two life tips about wiping the slate clean and never taking offense. And as usual, our time together has really just flown by. But you mentioned a reading from your book, Unfolding His Word, A Daily Devotional to Life in the Spirit. How do we get a hold of one of those books, Anne?
Yeah, you know what? Only online now.
Okay.
There may be on internet, there may be some used copies that might be available, but they can both still be downloaded.
Terrific.
So Amazon, you know, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And yes, that's great. And if anyone would love to hear more of Anne, and I just know everyone who's listened is certainly thinking that, Anne is going to be the speaker at the Saturday, June 19th, Skokia Glow Luncheon at the Hilton in Northbrook. And for more information, you can call 847-296-0472. 847-296-0472, June 19th, 11 to 3, at the Skokia Glow Luncheon at Northbrook's Hilton. I want to thank you so much, Anne, for being with us today. The joy of the Lord just oozes from
right,
you.
It radiates from you. And
yes.
Thank you. What an important message, and you were so generous to give us a full hour, and we're very grateful. I know our listeners are, too. This is really a topic, as I mentioned at the outset, I think we could probably spend a whole week on, but I'm grateful for just kind of the forgiveness 101 that you
exactly.
shared with us today, Anne. Thank you for and God bless you, Anne, and your good work. I pray he gives
thank
you many
you.
More years
yes.
of service to his
you.
People, and because you can just tell from your spirit just radiates a
yes.
desire to serve. And
amen.
So thank you for the gift that you are, Anne, to your
thank you.
To your family.
Listen,
and to the church.
I want to thank you, the both of you ladies. Loretta, thanks for inviting me. I just bless you both in your
you.
Ministry.
Thank you.
And I just think it's a wonderful ministry for the people of God. And I'm sure the Lord is going to take you to greater and greater things.
Amen.
So,
amen.
That's
what we
yes.
thank you, Anne.
Be okay. blessed.
Well,
be blessed, and thank you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Well, that wraps up another beautiful and informative episode of Winds of Change here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750. This has been Loretta Fralick and Mary Fiorito sitting in for Father Anthony today. Goodbye, God bless, and have a wonderful week.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.